because we made relationships. And I think that's in any business world, it's about people and relationships. And so you need to take the time, if you're going and visiting your properties, go and get to know the people in the areas that you're at. It goes a long way, and especially when you need something.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corner interviews that we publish every single Friday. And we bring in experts from all over the short-term rental world. Today, we've got an investor joining us, Miss Tammy Singer. Thanks so much for joining us. You've been in the game not just for 1 minute. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of the lessons learned in some of these shifting markets. And so, Tammy, I appreciate you joining us today.
All right. Thanks, Sean. I really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So these are all really casual conversations we let other people listen in on. And like I told you before we hit play, that you and I are just going to have a conversation, catching up, kind of getting to, and I said, I always tell you, I'm going to ask you some questions I already know the answer to, but I want other people to hear. And so first and foremost, tell me a little bit about your background, where you're from, kind of what got you interested in short-term rentals. Did you invest in other real estate before that? And then we'll dive into the short-term rental world.
All right. So first and foremost, I'm a Colorado girl, almost born and raised, but pretty much been here my whole life. So I appreciate the hat. I have my own, but I didn't wear it today. So kind of just from a short-term rental perspective, I mean, going back in real estate investment, I would go back to my parents have done a lot of long-term rental. So I watched that a little bit, did a little bit myself through one of our real estate lags, you know, back in the 2000s, where I had a property that I just wanted to bridge the gap, and I rented it instead of selling it. That was fun. Not fun doing long-term rentals. So I knew really well, really fast, that I did not want to go down that road as long-term rentals. So fast forward, fell into the short-term rental space in 2019. My husband and I are a Brady Bunch, and we were at the point of selling his house, moving in together. And we were like, okay, what do we want to do with, you know, the money of selling his house? We loved Grand Lake, Colorado. It's a beautiful, wonderful vacation spot in Colorado. I'm a boat girl. And so we decided that we would like to buy something up there. We started with, let's buy land, throw a camper on it, and then, you know, go from there. And we literally went up there, started looking at houses, found the 4-bedroom house, and I'm like, we got to get this, you know, and short-term rentals were just coming up, and I'm like, hey, let's go for it. Let's do the math really quick. And if we pay half our mortgage, we can make this work. Right. That was our goal. We weren't investing. We truly wanted it as a lifestyle asset because we love being up there. And so that's how we started. So fast forward, we bought another property up there to live in. Ultimately, we got all the kids, we're empty nesters, you know, threw them all to the wind, and basically went up to Grand Lake and full-time renovated a house. And now that property is, again, fast forward, we no longer live in it. It is an amazing property, very unique. And we saw the value of, we need to make money from this rather than live in it, you know, and life changes. And so that's where we're at.
Nice. Love it. And so where's home now? You still in Colorado? Did you still stay in Grand Lake area, or did you?
We're back down in Denver as our kids kind of settled down here. We're getting back closer to family, my parents, you know, life. I mean, that's what's great is we've been able to pivot. And that's there's a lot of hidden benefit in having short-term rentals and being able to do that from a financial perspective.
Love it. Well, and you started when you jumped in 2019, a lot of people, you know, even nowadays, I would say, you know, 70 to 80% of the owners in the market probably bought after the COVID boom, right? And so, but if you remember, because I was in the game back then as well, it was a pretty good, nice little boom for short-term rentals from like 2017, 18, 19. They were gaining a lot of steam during that period as well. It just feels like pale in comparison to the COVID boom, right? Absolutely. But it was at that time, they were becoming a lot more popular. And so it was still like they were on more people's radar. We were starting to see the possibilities of them. And then obviously COVID, you know, threw fuel onto that fire and everybody started to know about short-term rentals. Yeah. And then everybody looked like a genius for a couple of years in short-term rentals. Right. And so, and then now the markets have shifted back. It's become a mainstream asset class. It's, you know, the markets are, you know, the money's made at the top of the market, I always say. And you're no stranger to that. You actually are part of our 1% club operating in the top 1% of your market. So it's you understand where the money's made there. But tell me, I'd love to dive into some of those lessons learned and not only the lessons that you had to go through and learn in your investing career, because we all, you know, I always say success leaves clues, but also, you know, we can mitigate a lot of risk by hearing how to avoid some of the potholes and bumps that other people went through. And so, and you've seen the market start to grow up. You've seen what's happened with the big boom. And then ultimately they say a bust. It's not really a bust. It's just settling back down to more normal levels and what it takes to succeed. But some of the mistakes you made maybe along the way that you'd love to share with people.
Yeah. And just back to that, I mean, in 2019, it truly was easy, I would say. And then over the last 6 years, like, I mean, it progressively, everything's changed and got harder and harder and a lot more risk. And as we started to rely on the financial cash flow of that versus, I mean, I'll go into, we actually both left and lost a corporate job and was unemployed.
I'm coming to a city near you. That's right. Me and my team of expert advisors are going to be traveling around the United States, teaching people just like you how to acquire, manage, and market a successful short-term vacation rental. We're going to be hosting live two-day events to help investors mitigate their risks and maximize their returns with short-term vacation rentals. At these live events, you're not only going to hear from me, but I'm going to also bring my team of experts, CPAs, lenders, photographers, designers, managers, and my marketing experts. So if you're looking to learn more about investing in profitable lifestyle assets, or you want actionable steps on how to revitalize your struggling property, then come join us live and in person where we can shake your hand, meet you, and get all of those questions answered. Tickets start at general admission and work their way up to ultra VIP. So you can buy your tickets today by clicking the link in the description or by visiting Eventbrite and searching Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass. Once again, click the link in the description or visit Eventbrite and search Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass to get your tickets today.
Property, you know, basically saved us through that. So it's great from that perspective, but at the same time, we were very naive in the fact of what risk there truly were, was of that income. And specifically, and I said to you, I wish we joined Vodacy last year. And I think right after I joined, I think it was right around the time, it was after, we had a situation with our 1% property that makes a lot of money in the summer. In August, it's on a well system that's shared with another, you know, local kind of neighborhood condos. And long story short, the well system failed. And we were down for over a month and I had to cancel over a month of August revenue, which is it's a huge. Significant amount. Yeah. When you know your 1% club, it's very high.
Yeah.
And if we would have had the right insurance, you know, that rental income would have been covered. So that to me was, if I would have joined Vodacy even, you know, a year before, even 6 months before, because believe me, we went out and listened into your modules. I knew that I needed to go and pay more for the right insurance, which is hard, you know, every dollar counts. But in the end, I think that's just one thing that nobody can, you just can't take that risk and it will happen. Something's going to happen.
Right. So. It's so interesting you brought that lesson up. And maybe other people need to hear this because in the last 2 days on my Tuesday AMA call, we had one of our members that brought up their underwriting package, and they said, hey, listen, I was talking to my management partner. They said we can get away with just a homeowner's insurance policy. And I was looking at proper, and the difference is significant. One of them is $800 a year. The other one's $5,000 a year. And I'm going to be fine as long as I have this supplemental damage insurance. And that's what they're being told from a management partner. And I'm like, well, just pump the brakes. Let me show you or talk to you about the risks and the how you're exposing yourself. Hopefully, you never have to make an insurance claim. But if you ever run into a issue, you want to have the right policies because it can be very, very expensive. And we're not buying insurance policies for, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 of damage that the guest leaves, right? That's totally different. Those supplemental damage insurance policies are not the homeowner's insurance. And we want that. And what you're talking about specifically is revenue, you know, revenue loss part of the clause, right? With a short-term rental. Another person that I just, one of our members sent me over a pro forma from another coaching company that's doing done for you programs. And they said, hey, listen, this, would I be crazy to buy this done for you property? Can you look at it for me? And I started looking at it, and there was a lot of problems with the underwriting, but one of them that they were being misled on is the insurance. It was a property in Florida, and they told them on the pro forma that it was going to be $75 a month for insurance on a property in Florida. Well, that's, you know, it's $800 a year, $850 a year. That's not going to cover a short-term rental policy specifically in Florida. I don't even know if that covers homeowners policy, but I'm like, my point to that is it's funny how many times, and I'm putting an exclamation point on it because I think sometimes the universe is like telling us things, and maybe somebody needs to hear this because I've had this insurance example three times in the last day and a half. And so, that's just one little thing that a lot of people overlook or don't want to pay for, or which it is, it's hard. I have a policy that, you know, when you're looking at policy for $800 or a policy for $5,000, you're like, man, that really eats into my profits. But at the end of the day, when you need it and they're there and it's covered, that makes a big, big difference.
Yep, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I wish, and it's a big chunk of change because our house is on a lake. Mm-hmm. And we have so much liability as well. And that's another piece of it is we have really been looking into the liability piece and just making sure asset protection, all of that. Right. And again, that's something that I don't think I would have, you know, thought about as if without going through. And that's one reason why I signed up. People would be like, well, you were already the top of your market. But I'm like, there's things I still don't know. I you know I've fallen into this, and a lot of it's the location and the uniqueness of the property, which, you know, that's what it's all about. And that's the only thing that I would say I go and do again is you've got to make sure it's very, very competitive. It's just something that I am very thankful to you that I was able to glean that and just make sure that going forward, I'm all protected and other parts of all of your teaching and stuff. I think it's just important that we don't feel like we've arrived,
right?
You know, we always have things to learn and everything's changing every day, and to surround yourself with that knowledge, you know, it's just, that's priceless as well.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. In fact, when I started Vodacy, and one of the selfish goals that I had was I'm an investor, but I'm buying maybe one property a year, two properties a year at my most aggressive purchase price, my purchase like seasons. Right. But usually I'm purchasing a property a year. Well, as long as we've been doing it and as much as we've done it, that's still only one property a year. Even if I'm buying a property every year and I've been in the game for 18 years, I've only bought 18 properties, right? And I'm thinking, okay, how can I get my finger on the pulse to, you know, raise the bar in my own investing game? And that's why I got the idea of the community of the Empire Club. And Vodacy, the way it formed was there was some selfish reasons because I was like, I want to surround myself with other investors that are doing this. We all take best practices. We continue to evolve the blueprint and the recipe. But because we have such a large group, our finger on the pulse of what works and what doesn't is almost instantaneous, which is awesome, right? And it's, and like as many, like I, and all we do is we take that collective knowledge at this stage, the Vodacy recipe and signature recipe masterclass, I mean, I can't even take full credit for almost any of it. We're on version 7 or 8 by now, and it's that collective knowledge that has been just put together into a recipe that works over time. And it's, and it really, really is, like you mentioned a minute ago, when we were talking, it's a pretty nice insurance policy when you're in the game investing to be able to tap into.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So say some of the things that you think are going through this. You just mentioned one. And are there other things that come to mind? Or let's go back to how important it was to get the right property, right location. Like, those things matter, right? We know in real estate, location, 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 right? We, in short-term rentals, we have to have location plus experience, right? The experience matters. That location adds to that experience. And like you mentioned, like when you're looking or considering properties, you know that is one of the secrets to success, is having good proximity, good location, something that people really want to come and enjoy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of going back to that, Grand Lake is a gem of a place. And so, you know, it's very, very special. And we've spent a lot of time up there. And so on kind of like the non-financial part of it, I wanted to always have a goal of how we could give back to the community, locally and or broadly, with, you know, the phrase "too much is given, much is required," right? Yeah. And just seeing how we could get back, and going through, you know, 2019, the early 2020s and stuff, as the regulations came through, you know, that was a tricky time to, you know, we did a lot of going to our local town board meetings, yeah, and, you know, advocating for our value as far as part of the community and our homes. And, but we've also ingrained ourselves with the locals there. And I, you know, I think that's an important part. And I know it's harder for, we're, you know, pretty small as far as the number of properties that we have. But you develop a heart for, yeah, they are a part of your success.
Yeah.
If that local town and area, it's not all about your home. It's about the experiences that people can have there. And, you know, you watch them struggle. And, you know, I had a couple people that they have a mindset of they want to have their own business, right? They're stuck in the bartending. They're stuck in doing the restaurants, you know, and 40 plus years old, you know. And I'll just say specifically, I had one woman that she's gone in and out, and I just really had a heart that I was like, she wanted to have a, you know, be a private chef, do catering, do, you know, little experiences. So in the last 6 months, I've been working with her specifically. She now specifically cleans my house. I'm very proponent of that. On a 1%, you got to have somebody that loves your home almost as much as you do.
Yes.
And that's, to me, a very big lesson learned. Fail fast on your cleaners.
Yes.
Don't give them much room. If they're not doing it, go find another one. So I've got a job.
I couldn't agree more. That anybody on our team, the person who has the shortest leash is our cleaners by far.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so, but more importantly is that she wanted to start, I wanted to add experiences and concierge services, right? So I went really, really small with her. I just throw a note out there to my guests. And over the last couple months, it's a large home. It's beautiful on a lake. So we do allow very small micro weddings. And she's done 2, you know, micro private reception dinners at our house. And now she's got her Facebook page, and I'm helping her put her little business together, you know. And that, more than anything, is more fulfilling to me, is that
isn't that fun when you see
fueling her dream, right?
Yeah, they had the dream, you showed them, hey, listen, it's possible, and validated to them that, oh, I could do this, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, Tammy's happy with me. We're doing a great job for Tammy. Let's go do it for somebody else now. And you can see them kind of spread their wings and go and fly. That's awesome.
And then she can expand it. I mean, it's not, we don't have it there in Grand Lake. It's very, very small.
Yeah.
And, But, you know, then helping her to expand that, obviously, I want to keep her just all to myself, but that, that would be selfish. Right. But anyway, and then expanding that to even more businesses and everything. I mean, that's always top of mind for me. And that gives me the most fulfillment. So,
yeah. And I, when we're talking about the business we're in the experience business, and we are in part of that experience is being able to not just, most of our guests are not just sitting in our houses the whole time they're there, right? They're going to get out and explore, and they're going to go enjoy the local restaurants and the local shops and everything else. And when we can wrap that, the local economy into what we're doing on our, on the short-term rental business, it's good for them. It's good for us. It's good for the guest. It's a win-win-win all the way around. And I'm curious, like, we know that as investors, because we see it. We see it firsthand. We talk to the cleaners. We talk to the restaurant owners. We talk to the, you know, the lady who's doing all your catering and concierge services. Like, we see it firsthand. But then when you hear some of these areas that are like, hey, listen, we're going to regulate this, or we're going to stop this, or we're going to put these restrictions here, you're in an area in Colorado specifically that is a lot higher regulated than certain areas. And you mentioned before we got into this that you started having those conversations and going to the meetings and trying to have the conversations with the county council, city council. I don't think there's a city council there probably.
But, it is. It's a town. It's literally a town. Yeah.
So you got little council meetings, and they're mostly, I mean, they're not necessarily the most sophisticated council members, right? And they're doing their best to try to, you know, if somebody was complaining or something, they're like, okay, maybe we need to regulate this. But so I'd love to hear, because I haven't talked to anybody specifically on the podcast about, and I'd love people to hear how those conversations go. Cause I think that as investors, we're always like, hey, somebody needs to talk to them. I hope somebody else does. I don't know if it's going to be me. Right. And I think sometimes we have to just take it on our shoulders and say, hey, we have to be the ones that go have that conversation. And, and it's usually not going to have a conversation as a fight. It's saying, hey, listen, there's a lot of benefits to the local community. You know, let me tell you a story about Jane. Let me tell you a story about Bob's restaurant. Let me tell you a story about, like, and I'm wondering if that's how more of the conversations went, so people can hear how that went.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to, if you show, they will listen to you. And I mean, most of the people that are in those board, I mean, they're living there and they love where they're at, you know, and you, and we do too, you know, for different reasons. And, but, you know, you're looked at as an outsider. There's a ton of second homes up there. Obviously, a lot of us invest in these vacation communities. So it was just important to show up. There's not a lot that do. I mean, we were probably one or two the times that we were there. But what we did see, and because we made relationships, and I think that's in any business world, it's about people and relationships. And so you need to take the time, if you're going and visiting your properties, go and get to know the people in the areas that you're at. Right. It goes a long way, and especially when you need something.
Maintenance-wise, do you ask them to show up to those meetings? Yeah. Uh-huh. Did you ask them to show up to those meetings?
No, a lot of them did. Okay. So you had your restaurant owner. I mean, and it was interesting to see, which was a surprise to me, is that some of the restaurant owners, they came in and they actually advocated for the short-term rentals, of how they're bringing them business. If we weren't there, a lot of these, again, are second homes. They sit empty. They don't, they're not going to go to a, a low income housing. They're just not.
Right.
But at the same time, you did hear those that, and it's usually in the condos, and that where they have the close proximity. And what I would say is that what needed to change, Sean, was, I think there was a lot of owners, and I know you advocate, you know, it's my push and pull of being a little bit, what do you say? I mean, you own, but you have the property managers. So I would get, I would say, make sure your property managers are those advocates, right?
Yes. Yes.
And that they love the community and they're in those meetings, right? It doesn't mean that you have to be. And then someday I might have to be in that position, like, for whatever reason that I can't be showing up, but I got to know that I've got the advocate for me, because that's what they appreciate. And so we talked about how they need to regulate. They do need to regulate the owners, that they're responsible for what they're doing. I mean, we put in a lot of signage. We make it very clear on all of the quiet hours and everything. We're not, you know, we don't gloss it over because we respect our neighbors. We respect the community, and we want a certain clientele there that does the same, yes. You know? And so that's, to me, when you show up and you advocate that, then you get a lot more respect back.
Yeah, so. I totally agree. And I think that you just made a really good point with the property managers you're working with. And it's one of the main reasons I like the smaller local boutique management companies. Anytime absolutely. You can find them. I'm not a fan of the big national brands. I don't use them on any of my properties and for a lot of different reasons, but this is a key reason. The local boutique companies are part of the local economy and they will advocate. They want their hometown to stay really nice, and they're exactly. going to do what it takes to make sure that we're responsible hosts, because most hosts, I think, are responsible hosts, and I think they want to be responsible hosts. There's a lot of hosts that are absentee hosts, right? Mm-hmm. They hire a property manager and they don't see their property very often. And so it's really the property manager's job to do that. And then there's the small minority of group of hosts that are kind of bad apples. That happens everywhere, right? And well, those are the ones that cause us to have these, you know, the locals that they say, hey, we're done with this, right? We don't want to deal with this anymore. And I think that the more that we can advocate for the local communities to benefit from short-term rentals, which a lot of these smaller destination communities benefit significantly from having guests come in and visit there. And absolutely, especially yeah. guests that enjoy it. They love it as much as the locals do. And that's all they really want. They want somebody coming in and to love their hometown as much as they do. Right. And I think that we need to show that and be able to do that. I love that you brought that part of the into this conversation, because I think it's really, really important for all of us. And it sounds really, you know, good to say, yeah, we want to be a good host. We want to do this, but how do you do it? And yeah. I think that from a selfish standpoint, if you're thinking about it as an investor, like what's in it for you when you involve that local economy and you involve those local restaurants and everything else, and then you recommend them to your guests, you're mm-hmm. providing a better experience. Well, if you provide a better experience to the guests, they're willing to pay more and you make more money. And so like I said, it's a win-win-win all the way around. And so if you're like, hey, I'm the greedy, you know, self-serving person. Yeah. Well, this is still self-serving. It's going to work for you. So go do it, you know, because it still helps other people too. And that makes it a double whammy for you. So, but I don't think that's where most people are at, but I do think it's important. Like you said, somebody's got to be there advocating for responsible hosting. And, right. and especially in those smaller communities, I have a cleaner who we had on one of our properties in Georgia, and it's, they're awesome. They're every time I need a recommendation for anybody, I go to her, and it's a little mom and daughter business, very small, but they know everybody. They grew up there. They're fourth or fifth generation in that town. And it was funny this last Christmas season, they were cleaning our property around Thanksgiving, and they were trying to plan out their New Year's vacation and what they were going to do for New Year's. And they ended up, they said, it took us forever to ask you this, but we were wondering if we could rent your property. Aww. And I was like, because they love our property so much, and I'm thinking to myself, why would you ever hesitate to ask? I'm like, you ask me anytime and you can use it anytime. I'm like, you don't rent it from me. You tell me when you want to use it and I will block it for you. And so, but they were so appreciative of that. It was like, I mean, to be able to go use our cabin over New Year's for their family was almost like I gave them $1 million, and it made me feel really good. And it wasn't a big deal for me, and for them it was a huge deal. But it's like it's almost like they'll do anything for me now, you know, because, and it was, it's just kind of paying the kindness forward when you have good team and good local help there. And you know, and then you go into the restaurants and they're like, oh yeah, you know, Mary. Oh yeah. We know Mary too. And blah, blah, blah. You know, it's awesome. And so you start having some conversation.
You don't want to get on the bad side of a local town. Believe me.
No, definitely not. Yeah. That you'll get run out of town real quick.
Yeah. Or it's just that things will get really hard to do.
I live in a small mountain town. I know all about, you don't get on the bad side of the local crew there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Tammy, one last thing I wanted to ask you, because we've been talking a lot about Grand Lake. That's a seasonal market, very much a summertime market. You're making your money in the summertime. And a lot of people always wonder, can this work in a very seasonal market? And my answer is always yes. I just wanted to hear your thoughts about seasonal markets and your thoughts on it. If somebody said, man, I think I need to go to a market that has, you know, that's pretty much a year round market. My best properties have always been in seasonal markets. My most profitable properties have always been in seasonal markets. And I'm curious, I think you're seeing the same thing with specifically absolutely. On the Grand Lake property.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. It is year round. There's stuff going on all year round. You can't leave it and forget it. You got to adjust to what you're marketing to, what your experiences are, just paying attention to what it means to deal with snow. I mean,
hey guys, real quick, we are seeing record amounts of money being spent by guests visiting short-term rentals across the board. Yet many property owners are struggling to make the money that they want with those properties. So if your property is not performing like you'd hoped and you're crossing your fingers thinking that maybe it's going to get better soon, then you're going to be very, very disappointed because your property is performing exactly how you have it set up to perform. The good news is you're probably a lot closer to making money than you realize. I just hosted a live 3-day workshop on how to revitalize a struggling property where I covered the only 3 things that you need to dial in to succeed at the top of the short-term rental markets. And I'm going to send it to you absolutely free for being one of our podcast listeners. In these recorded trainings, I give you actionable steps on what you need to do to turn your property around and make the money that you've been hoping for. So you can get access to this free training by sending us an email to support@vodysey.com. Once again, send that email to support@vodysey.com to get your free training today.
You can't, you know, because if you get that bad review, then you're sunk for the whole year. It doesn't matter. The reviews don't, you know, go seasonal, you know? So that's one thing I think a good lesson learned too, is that you better be on top of every part of that, you know, when it comes to the, because obviously the seasonal properties have their nuances in the off season. That's why people aren't there.
Yeah. And usually it's weather, right? It's all weather related typically.
Yeah. But it's a hidden gem from that perspective too. And, you know, I think I always tell people, you know, come in this season or come in that season. And I actually, when I send my stuff out to regardless of when they book, I put everything for winter and summer. So then even if they're booking for summer, you know, it just jogs their memory of, oh, well, I can snowmobile. I can do this. I can do that. I can. Mm-hmm. Do you know Grand Lake's the snowmobile capital of the United States?
Yeah.
Most people don't know that, you know? You know, it's just a whole nother class of clients. And, you know, again, when you're picking your property, that matters, you know, and that's what you got to think about. I think they all can be seasonal. It just has to be the right property.
Yeah. And some season, and sometimes your guest changes completely from the peak season to the off season. It's a completely different guest, marketing, everything else. Other times there's a lot of crossover and it's understanding, hey, listen, there's a lot. My favorite time to use my properties always has been and probably always will be is in the off season. I actually don't ever go visit my properties during the peak season, not because I'm costing me any revenue. I just don't like the crowds. You know, I live in a small mountain town in Utah for a reason where nobody's at, right? And so I like to use my properties during those off seasons. And a lot of these seasonal areas are pretty amazing in the off season, actually. And so it can be a lot of fun. So,
yeah. And I would say that I think that people are across the board are learning that as well. So don't be afraid of, I mean, I would say my last, we call it mud season, April and May. My 1% property was very well booked because people are understanding there's no boats on. I mean, you literally are there by yourself. I mean, it's not very private in the summer. There's a zillion boats everywhere, right? But if you want to come for a peaceful retreat, I had, you know, women's, you know, retreats and, you know, girls coming and we just came and had them. And I have couples. It's a 6-bedroom house. And I had a lot of couple, they just want to come and enjoy the views and the hot tub over the lake. Yeah, and
just the seclusion, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
it's awesome. I love it. I love it. Well, listen, Tammy, this has been a really fun conversation for me. And I know that people listening in value these conversations a ton because we get feedback on them all the time. So I very, very much appreciate your time spending it with us and sharing some of the lessons learned in your journey in short-term rentals. And I know it's just getting started. And so we're wishing you all the best and excited to be a part of that journey with you.
Well, thank you so much, Sean. I appreciate you including me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you guys that are listening, we know how valuable your time is. We hope you got as much value out of it as I got out of it, because I always learn something from these conversations. And so I always ask you guys, we don't run ads on this show. And so the only way it grows is if you guys share it. And so if you know somebody else who would like to walk into the short-term rental game with their eyes wide open, that's our goal at this show. And so share it, if you wouldn't mind. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today to start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.